May not look like it, but I don't have my right glasses on. These are computer glasses, so I know there are people out there, but so if I squint and don't look at you, it's not because I don't want to look at you. It's because I can't. So anyway, good morning. The Lord is risen. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Last week, we learned in verses 16 through 18 that we're not to err when it comes to thinking that God tempts us or that He is not good when He sends trials to us. And that as the Father of lights, He is good as demonstrated in His creation, and that as the Father of lights, He does not change like the lights of the heavens, the sun, the star, the moon. But He is immutable, meaning He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we, like Christ, are who fulfilled the feast of first fruits of His resurrection, are also like a first fruits. So today we're looking at verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity once again to look at Your Word, and we pray that You would apply it to our hearts and that we would listen to what You have to teach us, that we would be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. We pray in Your name. Amen. The story is told of President Franklin Roosevelt that he had to often endure long receiving lines at the White House, and he complained that no one really paid attention to him. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment, and to each person who passed his way, he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And they would reply, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work. You're doing a good job," or "We're so proud of you," or "God bless you, sir." It was not till the end of the line, when greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador from Bolivia leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." So today, we are going to take a deep dive into swift to hear. That's all we're going to cover today. Swift to hear, slow to speak. So James here opens once again this section with a familiar phrase to us, "my beloved brethren." We saw that he did the same introduction last week. So once again, he is saying, "Beloved, pay attention. Listen, this, what I have to say, is crucially important." And he's also telling us that he's not addressing this to unbelievers. This is not a little bit of business advice. You know, it'd be really good if you listened when trying to make a sales presentation. No, he's talking to Christians, my beloved brethren. Now, James has just wrapped up his exhortation that we looked at last week, verse 17 and 18, with an allusion to the Word of God. And he's going to continue talking about the Word of God in verses 21 through 27. So if you look at verse 18, he begat us with the Word of truth. And then in verse 21, he picks up somewhat of a similar idea, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. And then verse 22, that familiar phrase, be ye doers of the Word. So the commandment to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, is not simply a commandment for a way of life, but it is couched in the context of talking about the Word of truth, the language of the new birth. In other words, when we are slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to anger, these things are hindering the Word of God taking root in our lives. So before he turns to the expounding upon that topic in verse 21 through 27, it seems like he takes this brief little side trip here about speech and anger. And it seems almost a little bit out of place, but he's introducing a motif that's going to run through the entire book of James. Indeed, this passage, when he's talking about speech, the tongue is the first of six different passages that he's going to blast us with when he talks about the tongue. Now, all of God's commandments are rooted in his character, as is this command, not an advice, but this command to hear. So it's just not a moralistic proverb, but this is rooted in who he is, and this is demonstrated throughout scriptures. Here's just two scriptures that we could choose of perhaps hundreds throughout the Bible when we talk about God listening. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What a great, wonderful promise. Old Testament. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to you. So God is the God who tenderly, mercifully listens to us, and we see that in Christ himself. He knows our struggles with listening. When Hebrews tells us that he was at all points tempted as we, but without sin, it's also referring to this sin of speech. He was tempted to speak when he should have listened. He was tempted to unrighteous anger, but without sin. So, let every man be swift to hear. Referencing our good friends, Pastor Stephen and Mrs. Phoebe, we can just imagine Pastor Stephen reading this letter, sitting at the table, and his wife, Mrs. Phoebe, is across from him. And he comes to that phrase, every man be swift to hear. And he, perhaps like us, glances over the page and looks at his wife and wonders and perhaps talks and says, I think James may have miswritten here. I think it should have been written, let every woman be swift to hear. Pastor Stephen would never make a mistake like that. No, so James doesn't say that, even though some of us might think that. No, he says, let every man, everyone, be swift to hear. All of us struggle in this area. And he's also not just addressing introverts. He's not just talking to people who by personality God has made to be a fewer words than others. I've noticed that oftentimes a book can be very successful, hit the bestseller list, in part, in great part, because of the title. Years ago I read a book, I didn't write it, written by Pastor Rick Warren. And I read it. It was a fine, solid book. But it was a huge bestseller. The Purpose-Driven Life. I think that title is just amazing. I think that was a big, huge reason why it was a bestseller. Well, there was another bestseller a couple years ago. And it was called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Now, I don't know about you, but that title just, wow, that's just a great title. And it struck a chord with me. And perhaps if you're a person who's not as extrovert as others, that might strike a chord with you as well. But this command applies to you who are quiet as much as those who are not quiet. James is addressing those who may sin in this area. Now, we can't, of course, technically give sin statistics, but bear with me. He's not addressing to those who just sin 9 times out of 10 with their tongues, but those who sin maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. So when he gives us this command to hear, he's telling us to attend, to consider what has been said, to understand, to perceive. And as I've said, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Maybe he's thinking of the phrase that Jesus used so often in his ministry, he who has ears, let him hear. What's he talking about there? He's not simply saying, okay, hear as in, husband, would you please on your way home go get some lettuce or strawberries at the grocery store? No, he's saying, attend to this. Listen, give it your attention. Obey. Listen with your whole heart. So what are we to hear? Why are we to hear? Well, speech, as you know, reveals our heart. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And our battle with sin often begins here, does it not? If we are swift to hear, oftentimes we will be slow to speak. If we're swift to hear and if we're slow to speak, then we will often be slow to anger. We sin so often with the tongue. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not, or we could say, sin is not lacking. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Again, we're not talking about technically trying to give ourselves statistics. But here Scripture is implying and telling us that if you're speaking a lot, the probability for sin may go up. It's a warning. Warning to us that in the multitude of words, sin is around the door. I find it interesting that in the world's most successful best-selling books, talking about books, after the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan includes a character called Talkative. And here is his description of Talkative and how he contrasts it with another character in the book, Faithful, who ends up being martyred at the city of Vanity Fair. How talkative at first lifts up his plumes. How bravely doth he speak. How he presumes to drive down all before him. But so soon as Faithful talks of heart work, like the moon that passed the full, into the wave he goes, and so will all but he that heart work knows. James is also giving us this warning because, as is so often in the case we will see in the book of James, he is warning us with a view of the second coming, with heaven in mind. He's got eschatology on his brain, so to speak. One of the most terrifying passages in the Bible is when Jesus tells us that every idle word that man shall speak will be judged. Idle there is a word that means free from labor, leisure, lazy. In other words, somebody who's not guarding and paying attention and taking care of his tongue. Ecclesiastes 5:2, we read, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. There's a warning to have fear of God in our hearts, to consider the Almighty, to be careful what we say, and by implication, to be careful in our communication one with another. James is also concerned that we be swift to hear and slow to speak, because that is the path towards wisdom, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment here. But we read in Proverbs 17:27-28, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips, shut your mouth. You didn't know your mom was quoting scripture when she said that to you, did you? Is esteemed a man of understanding. So, to whom should we listen? Well, in the context of what James is talking about, my brethren, he's talking about in the church to one another. But I think we can also apply that a little bit more specifically, put a little color to that, as we might say. And of course, as we just mentioned, being couched in the language of the Word of God, first and foremost, we are listening to the Lord and His Word. So the thrust of verse 19 and 20 is about practical righteousness. We can infer, as we mentioned already, about He begat us with the Word and be ye doers, that He's talking about that. That we're to listen to the Word of God, that we're to listen to the teaching and preaching of the Word, that we're supposed to read it. So the question is, do you listen? I'll ask that again. Do you listen? Do you listen every Sunday? How easy it is for all of us just to tune out every week, just to fade away in our thoughts, to not pay attention. When we read the Word of God, when we read a familiar passage, when we confess the Apostles' Creed, when we run across the things that are so familiar to us, does our attention span drop a little bit? Do we pay attention? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Here's an example of one who is listening, paying attention to Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So a momentous event has occurred in the life of Martha. Jesus has come to her house. Probably the most important thing that's perhaps ever happened to her. And here she's busy being a good host, preparing the food, getting everything ready, and she needs help. Apparently she doesn't have some kids to boss around and say, do this, do that. But she has a sister. And she's not paying attention to her. She's not doing what she wants. So she enlists a higher authority. She says, Jesus, tell this person to do this and that. He says, no. Why? Little phrase there. And heard his word. She is listening to Jesus, and he will not take her away from that. We are also, who else to listen to? We're to listen to the wise. Now, listening to the wise often means getting stung, getting pricked, getting hurt. Why? Because listening to the wise often includes being rebuked, receiving reproof, correction, and we don't like that. But we're commanded to listen to the wise, to our pastors, to our elders, to our teachers, to our parents. But also, well, let's look at Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. So indeed you err if you do not receive all of the words that the wise are going to give to you. So who are the wise? We just mentioned the pastors, elders. But also, in Titus verses 2, 3 through 5, the aged women likewise, or we can just simply say older aged seems to be, just a little older women likewise, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, so on and so forth. But here's the thing. The older women in this congregation, those who are wise, are ready to teach the younger women. But they can't do it if you don't listen, if you don't ask, if you don't hang out with the older women, if you don't fellowship with them, if you don't ask questions. They cannot do that. Years ago, dating myself a little bit here, there was a very famous advertising slogan, probably one of the most famous that's ever been used. And it was for a financial company. And it went this way: when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. So when the elderly women speak, will you listen? Of course, we're also supposed to listen to our parents. Many commandments about that. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. I think our church is pretty good at instructing that with catechism and catechumens memorizing scriptures along this line from the very beginning when they're 2 years old. Children, obey your parents. Very good. But also we're to listen to our children. I think when we read the familiar passage, Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oftentimes when we provoke our children, it's because we're not listening to them. Ted Tripp tells a story that years ago he was putting his kids to bed. This strikes a chord with me. I would do this every night with my own children, and sometimes we would say, you know, I have something to say. And then we would go in through this monologue, and then he said, well, I'm glad, to his son, we had a chance to talk. I'm going to pray with you and go to bed. And within minutes, his son was knocking on the door. And he said, Dad, you said we were glad we had a good talk. I just wanted to point out to you that I did not say anything. We didn't have a talk. We had a lecture. So frequently, alas, parents and all of us answer before we've listened. Your daughter comes in, she has a question. But you interrupt her and you say, I know what you're going to ask, and the answer is no. But Dad, what part of no do you not understand? But Dad, I didn't even ask my question. You don't have to ask your question, I'm your dad. And I know what you're going to say. Well, oftentimes we don't know what they're going to say. And the daughter doesn't walk away saying, oh, I am so grateful for a dad that can read minds. No, she's tempted to wrath. She's being provoked. Ted Tripp wrote, family life thrives on thoughtful listening. When we show respect for others, when we listen. Listening says, I value you and what you are saying. I value it so highly that I will do whatever I can to facilitate your communication. I believe that the time to listen is a good investment. I will listen and find joy in understanding the meaning and intent of your words. And I think we're also to listen to unbelievers. The heart of presuppositional apologetics, after all, is understanding and knowing what the person's presupposition is. How are we to do that if we're not truly listening to them? Okay, so we looked at who we're listening to, why we're to listen, how are we to listen? Well, I know you're going to be surprised when I say we're supposed to listen swiftly. But that's how we're supposed to listen. We're to swiftly listen. Now, listening doesn't come naturally. We have to work at it. We have to think about listening. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So the idea here in swiftly is that we meditate and we devise and we listen. We study what the other person has to say. And implied in listening swiftly is that we're not talking. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. We just looked at that. Let thy words be few. So you may ask, how many are few? How many are too many? Years ago, as you probably know, we had a water leak in our house, and we had to live with the Moores, Kevin and Arlene Moore, former members of our congregation who moved, they're now in Phoenix. And we were with them for 6 weeks, and my wife got to really know Arlene at that time, and they hit it off. And they would talk together for hours and hours. And I would joke that we were all born with a certain allotment of words. And each day, we have a certain allotment given to us in the morning. And some of us, like myself, run out of words rather quickly. And others, like Arlene and my wife, you notice my wife's not here today, have a lot more words. And I would be finished talking, and they would just continue. So is James addressing people like that? No, not necessarily. Not at all. He made them to enjoy talking. So how many words are too many? Well, ironically enough, you have to ask. You have to talk with others and ask them, did I interrupt you? Did I give you a chance to talk? Are you sinning with your words? Do you find that if you begin to talk too much that you end up gossiping? Are you finding that your words stop others from talking? Swift to hear also means that we're paying attention. We're listening with both ears. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. How often do we do that? That we don't let people finish their sentence, let alone their paragraphs when they're talking to us. We have to guard against that instant reflex. It's like when we go into the doctor's office and he takes a little hammer, you know, and he pounds the old knee and bong, got the instant reflex. Well, it's almost like as soon as somebody talks to us, it acts as that little hammer. And the instant reflex is, oh, we got to talk right back. Boom, before we even think, we're talking. Would be like the example of the couple that goes to the pastor. And they said, Pastor, my wife and I have had serious problems in our marriage. And we were wondering, and he instantly interrupts him and says, I'm sorry, my counseling schedule's full this week, but if you call my secretary next week, I'm sure we can get in. But they were going to say, and we were wondering how we might celebrate as the Lord has worked in our lives and we have been reconciled. Oops. A little bit of a problem. Author Janet Dunn wrote, unfortunately, many of us are too preoccupied with ourselves when we listen. I think she could say all of us. Instead of concentrating on what is being said, we are busy either deciding on what to say in response or mentally rejecting the other person's point of view. So listening involves more than just our ears. It involves finding a good place to listen. Eye contact. Not disparaging the younger generation, but I often find when I'm talking to a young person, they don't know how to look in the person's eye. Look at people in the eye. Hand gestures, posture, silencing our smartphones. All of these are part of meaningful, intentional listening. And such intentional listening is loving one another and being unselfish. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, we read in Philippians 2:3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. When we are listening in this fashion, we are being unselfish. Indeed, what a practical way to put others ahead of ourselves by listening to them, by stopping and not talking. It's a form of love, is it not? 1 Corinthians 13:5, doth not behave love, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Seeketh not her own. John Piper wrote, love is not rude. This means that love not only follows absolute moral standards, but also takes cultural mores, habits, and customs into account. What is polite? What is courteous? What are good manners? What is proper? What is good taste? What is suitable? Love is not indifferent to these. It uses them to express its humble desire for people's good. One such politeness is listening well to a question before you answer. How are we to listen? Well, interestingly enough, we're also to listen by asking good questions. Proverbs 25, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Good listening asks perceptive, open-ended questions, watching carefully how the person is responding. Good example of this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 19. Luke 24, 13 through 19. Familiar passage, as we probably no doubt just looked at this during Easter. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are to come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? So Cleopas and his friend are on their way. It's a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus shows up in the midst of them. And he's listening. First of all, he's listening to them as they reason one to another. And he asks, what manner of communications are these? He wants to know, what are you talking about? And notice, it says that you are sad. He sees. Now, as Almighty God, he knows what they've been talking about. He knows the state of their heart. But it demonstrates to us that he is paying attention to their heart, to their countenance. He can tell that they are sad. And then he asks an open-ended question. He doesn't say, do you believe Jesus is God? Yes or no. Do you believe that he was resurrected? Yes or no. But he says, what things? Tell me about it. Tell me so that I can hear what you are thinking and what you're going through, what you're considering in your hearts. This listening is an act of kindness. It's an act of mercy. So what keeps us from being good listeners? Not being quick to listen. Being quick to speech. And listening is expensive. It costs us time, attention, focus. And this is really a great challenge for us, is it not? How often are we prepared to listen? That we intentionally go into any situation, especially here at church, with the goal to listen to one another. I think we can sum up our lesson here today with another verse from Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we also thank you that by your Holy Spirit and the power that he gives us, we can obey these commandments. And we know that many of us, this is very difficult and seems impossible to listen more and to talk less. But we ask that by your Holy Spirit you would help us, knowing that you are the God who listens to us. We pray that we would be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.